So today is the concluding part of our series on Ruth. But before we unpack chapter 3 and 4, there are some points I want to lay, you know, from the previous study. And Ruth chapter 2 verse 2, the law of Moses, as if it had been given with Ruth and Naomi in mind, provided for the poor by commanding the Israelites to leave behind some grain at harvest time so that the poor could gather it and have food. If you look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, and Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19 to 21, it explains this. Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Because of Ruth's faithful commitment, Boaz pronounced a blessing on her, asking that the Lord, under whose wings she had come for protection, will provide a spiritual covering for her. In verse 20 of chapter 2, as a family redeemer or kinsman redeemer, Boaz could fulfill the law of levirate marriage, which we see in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 10. This was an ancient provision that meant that if an Israelite man were to die without having a son as an heir to carry on his family name, the man's brother could provide for the deceased by marrying his widow. Then the first son she bore will carry on the name of the dead brother, so his name will not be blotted out from Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 6. Having said those, you know, clarified those points, I just want us to look now at, you know, the broad classification or division of what we want to discuss today. So in chapter 3, we are looking at hope, the promise of redemption en route. And of course, we will be looking at hope, as it were, in chapter 4. So the promise of redemption. A, initiative in seeking redemption. This is covered in verse 1 to 5 of chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Ruth describes how Ruth takes a bold step to seek redemption by approaching Boaz at the threshing floor. Naomi decided to become a matchmaker, verse 1, and why not? She told Ruth to go to Boaz's threshing floor that night. The threshing floor was where the winnowing will take place, separating the barley from the inedible chaff. Verse 2. During the harvest, Boaz would have spent the night there because he had to prevent theft of his grain. Naomi advised Ruth to uncover his feet and lie down after he finished eating and drinking and went to sleep for the night. Once Boaz realized she was there, he will explain what she should do next. Verse 3 to 4. Naomi's guidance to Ruth exemplifies the call to courage and initiative in seeking redemption. Ruth's obedience to Naomi's plan reveals the blending of human initiative with divine providence. This can encourage believers to understand that stepping out in faith often aligns with God's purposes. By obeying faithfully, we position ourselves to experience God's redemptive power, like Ruth. B, courageous faith meets favor, covered in verse 6 to 11. With courageous faith, Ruth approached Boaz despite cultural risk, her actions underscore how proactive faith can lead to God's providential salvation. Through her words and actions, here, Ruth was making a marriage proposal. Let's not pretend that it's anything other than that, okay? She was requesting that Boaz perform his legal responsibility as a family redeemer by asking him to take her under his wing. Ruth was reminding him of the blessing he had pronounced on her previously, which I mentioned in the preamble. Ruth was also challenging him to become the human expression of God's divine covering. Boaz's response not only reassures Ruth, but points to Christ, who welcomes and redeems us. This should inspire us believers to approach Christ boldly, trusting he will not turn them away, he will not turn us away, but will fulfill his promises of redemption. So wherever you are in your Christian journey, be sure, understand that Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer, and he's able to rescue us from sin. C, assurance in the Redeemer's promise, covered in verse 12 to 18. The word redeem appears multiple times here. Through its use, Boaz is presented as an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ, who redeemed or bought back sinners from slavery to sin. Please pay attention to Boaz's assurance of redemption, which was fulfilled in his actions and promises. This section shows the waiting and trusting aspect of faith. The Bible always tells us that be not slothful, be followers of them who through patience and faith inherit the promise. So in our journey, there must be this combination of faith and patience and long-suffering. Boaz's commitment to Ruth suggests Christ's unwavering promise to redeem those who come to him. Allow this story to encourage you and others to trust God's process and timing, knowing he's faithful to his word. It's a reminder that our hope is secure in Jesus, our Redeemer. Through Christ, we are forgiven. Through Christ, we are set free from sin. We are made new creations. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And have new relationship with God. If Boaz were to redeem Ruth, she would be bought out of slavery, of impoverished circumstances, and formally adopted into God's chosen family. In verse 14, Ruth arose and left while it was still dark, so that no one would see her and misconstrue the night's events, bringing harm to their reputations. In summary, this passage highlights the themes of hope and the importance of acting in faith, as Ruth's actions not only secure her future, but also align with God's providential plan for her life and Israel. We now go to point number two, which we are looking at from drawing out from chapter 4, redeeming hope. The fourth chapter of Ruth narrates the culmination of Ruth and Boaz's story, where redemption and hope shine through their faithfulness. Boaz acts as the kinsman redeemer restoring not just Ruth and Naomi's fortunes, but also securing the lineage that will lead to David, highlighting God's providence in tough times. A, initiating redemption with integrity, verse 1 to 6. Here we explore how Boaz begins the redemption process by bringing the matter before the town elders. In verse 1, Boaz went to the gate of the town where business and civic activities were conducted. Boaz invited the man to sit down with him and asked 10 other town's elders to join them. These men would serve as witnesses of the legal proceedings that were about to transpire. Since he was closest relation, that is, the unnamed man had the first rights to buy Naomi's land. When he jumped at the chance, verse 4, Boaz noted that if the man redeemed the land, he will also be redeeming the widow, Ruth, for a wife to perpetuate the deceased man's name on the property. Verse 5. That meant that with the economic acquisition came a social responsibility, which is also a social acquisition. The man declined, so Boaz stepped in. This highlights for us the importance of taking initiative and acting in faith. Boaz exemplifies responsibility and compassion, reminding us that our first steps in faith can have significant implications for ourselves and others. This part of the text encourages us to trust that God works through our proactive actions to bring about redemptive purposes. B, securing hope through obedience, verse 7 to 12. At that time in Israel, you couldn't sign some legal documents and have them notarized. So a legally binding transaction of this nature was ratified by the custom of a man giving his sandal to another party with whom he was doing business. Verse 7. In verse 10, Boaz acquired Ruth and the property out of concern for others to perpetuate the name, the deceased man's name, on his property so that his name would not disappear among his relatives. This sacrifice brings to mind this New Testament principle. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it, Jesus said, Matthew 16:25. Often blessings follow when we lay down our priorities for the sake of God's kingdom. All the people who were at the city gate prayed for Ruth, that she would be like Rachel and Leah, who gave birth to many of the fathers of the tribes of Israel. Verse 11. Little did they know how famous Boaz will become or how great his offspring will be. And we see that cataloged in Matthew chapter 1, chapter verse 5 to 17. The formal agreement to marry Ruth symbolizes God's faithfulness through human actions. The legal transfer of property and heritage signifies our spiritual adoption in Christ. Through Boaz's willingness to redeem, believers, that is us, are reminded that God's plans often unfold through ordinary customs and traditions, revealing his consistency and commitment to us. We are reassured that God honors faithful commitments and our obedience is never in vain. C, transforming lives with love, covered in 13 to 17. In the sermon last week, we took notice of the sad and hopeless situation of the widows in the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. In our study today, Ruth's transformation from widow to wife is a powerful reminder that God's redemptive power can take us from despair to joy, from sadness to celebration, from the valley of depression to the mountaintop of jubilation. It is not over yet until God says so. One thing God has spoken, two things I have had. Power belongs to you, God. Psalm 62:11. So God can change our stories. He can change the trajectory of our lives. This passage exemplifies how God's providence provides personal restoration and legacy through difficult circumstances. Hear me. We are not denying that difficult circumstances exist. No, we are not. It is part and parcel of our journey here on earth. But in spite of those, we can see transformation. It serves to comfort us, this passage, this congregation, affirming that God's love changes our status and ensures our future within his promises. Ruth's story here foreshadows our redemption in Christ, offering firm hope. What are you struggling with today, if I may ask? Is it an addiction, hopelessness, infirmity, lack of hunger for God, lukewarmness? Or you may have doubts about your salvation and about whether God still answers prayer. Some personal or family issues have led you to doubt God's love. May I challenge you to consider again Ruth's story. This is a powerful story of God's redeeming love. And I wonder how she celebrated the breakthrough. How would you have celebrated this kind of breakthrough? That breakthrough that she experienced. Did she shout? Did she cry the tears of joy? This was a woman who was redeemed from the slavery to sin and from her impoverished circumstances. For her, it must have been like a dream. Just like the psalmist declared in Psalm 126, verse 1, saying, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." Are you believing God for something? Is there any stirring in you? Are you believing God for a miracle? Don't stop trusting. Don't stop believing. Don't stop hoping. Please don't stop praying. For when God turns around your fortunes, it will also be like a dream. Remember, God is in the business of turning things around for those who trust in him. Isaiah 61 verse 3 presents this God to us. It is God who sees us. He is God who feels our pain. As the one who provides for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That is the God we serve, brothers and sisters. And it says they will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. What God does is God is proud of us for what he is doing in our lives. He's putting us on display so that people can say, yes, that God turned him around. God is in that business. Okay? So let's just trust him. Ruth and Boaz's son, Obed, will be grandfather to David, the great king of Israel. The ancient Israelites to whom the author was writing knew this amazing heritage. The woman living there declared, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Finally, we look at this deed, linking generations through grace, 18 to 22. We will conclude this section by reflecting on the genealogy of David, demonstrating God's plan spanning generations. Although the ancient Israelites knew about David, what they did not know was that there was an even greater descendant to come from the bloodline. The kingly line of David will ultimately lead to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will be born in the ancestral home, Bethlehem. Though Boaz and Ruth were unaware of it, their lives and decisions were part of God's kingdom program. By submitting yourself to the Lord's agenda, you open yourself to his sovereign purpose or purposes, not only for your own benefit, but also potentially for the benefit of generations after you. As God used Ruth and Boaz to play a part in his redemption history, so he can use our lives for his glory. Though Ruth was a Gentile descended from these humble circumstances, she worshiped the God of Israel, married into God's chosen people, and became the ancestress of King David and Jesus Christ. Ruth's story connects to the broader narrative of God's people and the line leading to Jesus. What are we going to do with this? Some months ago, we were here celebrating the 90th of this church, and we saw evidence of those who have trod this path before. We are in this journey. What legacy are we going to leave in this space? So let me encourage you today, never to write off anybody. Don't write off yourself. God is here. He's speaking to us so that he can make us become his vessels of honor. So that we can become the people that he has called us to be. Hallelujah. And as he does though, we can shine out there being the salt and the light of the world. Many people are looking for the opportunity to have what we have. But we will be that connection between Christ and themselves. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Ruth. Thank you for the insights you've given us in Ruth. Thank you, Father, for the challenges that you have given us. We thank you for your redemption, which is complete and total. Thank you for the turning around, Lord. And because you live, we are alive. Thank you, Father. We open our hearts to you and ask God that You are the porter. We are the clay, Lord. We ask that you mold us, shape us, and fill us so that we can be conduits of blessing to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.